Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And I just want to say before we say our prayers that I hope you're here with and you came with an expectant heart. There is something that God has for you this day through the worship, through the word that will come forth today. But there's something specifically for you if you open the ears and eyes of your heart. Every day, we don't show up here just because it's a Sunday morning and that's the thing that Christians do.
Yep.
We come here to worship because He is worthy to be worshiped. And so I hope today, as we begin with the worship music, as we begin with the word, that you keep the ears and eyes of your heart open. He's got something for you. You're not just here by chance. Today is your day. So please pray with me. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you are always have your eyes on us, Lord. May we have our eyes on you. So, Lord, we do give you our hearts this morning, Lord. We ask that you would just come forth, Lord, and that you are welcome within us, Lord. You are welcome in this place. Lord, this is a house of worship, and we are here for that reason. We thank you and we praise you.
So last night I was praying, and God told me to come up and speak up here today. And I told him, I don't have anything. And as we were singing that song, Go On, I think that's the name of the first song we sang. And what we were learning in Sunday school, God just put, it's been bubbling in my spirit for a year or more, that we need to step out and enter into the kingdom. And like Pastor says, we already have the kingdom here. And we just need to step out of the boat. Peter asked Jesus if he could walk on water, and Jesus said, yes, come. And that song that we sang, Go On, just reaffirmed that. But we've been in bondage. The church has. We let ourselves be in bondage for all these years. And God's freeing us. We're like the Israelites leaving Egypt now. And we can take the gold. We can take the sacrifices. We can take everything out. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And I really believe it's not just money, it's the spiritual breakthroughs. And we just need to step out and be obedient to God and do what He says. Instead of playing church and straddling the fence, we need to stop that. And just serve the Lord, be obedient to Him. And like the song said, He is faithful. We just have to walk in that and quit. We've been brainwashed that we're not any good. And we are. We're sons and daughters of God. And we have every right to walk in that. We're no longer bondage. We're not no longer slaves. And anyways, that's just been bubbling up in my spirit for a year now. And I just want to encourage everyone that God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. And He doesn't want us to be in sin. He doesn't want us to be straddling the fence in unbelief and in sin. He wants us to walk as His adopted sons and daughters. And He's given us everything that we need to do that. And so I just encourage all of us to walk in that. And it took the Israelites 40 years to get to the promised land. Could have taken 1 week. And it's because of their unbelief. And then they were murmuring. After they saw the Red Sea open, they still murmured and wanted to go back to Egypt. And it's kind of like what we said in the Sunday school today. It's like a dog going back to his vomit. And we don't want to do that. We want to walk into the promised land. Anyways, I just encourage all of us to walk as God created us to be and to finish the race well. So God bless you all.
You know, when Steve
was talking right now, he's talking about coming out of Egypt and going to the promised land. And one of the first things that popped into my mind is all of those murmurings, all of those things, all it did was hold them up in the same place for longer. You know, God had something for them and he was taking them somewhere, and all they had to do was trust what he was doing. Just, I'm taking you somewhere. Look at everything I just did for you already. Like, that's, there's testimonies in our life that are, that boost you, and they're meant to be built upon. But God's got things for you. There's things that come up, there's things that he brings, and it's not to tear you down, and it's not to knock you down a level. That's not how God works. He loves you. He's wanting to build you up, to give you something new, to pour new things into you. Because he created you with gifts that are inside that he's just waiting to bring forth in your life. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday or 10 years ago. He's taking you somewhere new. And all we gotta do is follow what he's telling us. Just like the Bible says, just like this song says, he's turning graves into gardens. He's wanting your life to flourish and just be life that is so abundant that your cup poureth over. It really is. That's what's meant for you. We've sang a lot of songs this morning about promises. You know, those promises are in the Bible. And as you read them, and as you spend time with God and you go after him, they begin to do something in your life. It's like clearing a path through desert and saying, I am doing something for you. I am moving the pieces. I am setting up things for you. Even if you can't see it, it's happening because the kingdom is working in your favor, because it is for you. It's not against you. But we have to go after him. And moments like these, even just in worship where we just spend the time, that's exactly what he's wanting us to do, because it's in those moments that you just set everything aside and surrender it all that he's able to just, let me give you some things. Let me speak some things into you. He'll show you things. And as you listen to him more and more, you'll recognize that voice. You'll recognize that it's not just, so often we mistake it for, oh, I was just thinking that myself. You'll begin to recognize when God's speaking things into your life. When he's telling you to move this direction, do this. He's got great things for you. It's one of the reasons that this right here, I get excited. I just wanna, I know that it reminds me so much of my dad when I wanna jump, because it's just excitement, it really is. It's those moments of saying, God, they're not just words. I've seen you in my life change things from bad to good. I've seen you take things from where there's nowhere else to go to clearing a path that I might have great things in you. I've seen it happen. And it happens in our lives. As we go after God, we see how he shifts things, how he changes things, how he brings great things forth in our life. It's all meant for you. It really is. The Bible isn't just something we read. It's living in our life. It really is. He's living within us, and everything that he's trying to pour into you is things to just take you for, move you into new things, break bondages, lift weights, give you joy that is just beyond anything that you could ever ask or think. So I want to go back into, actually want to go back into the bridge right now. But as we sing this, just prophesy into your life. Claim those promises that he's given you. Claim the things that he has for you. Know that he turns mourning to dancing. That he gives you life and life more abundantly. And get excited for it. Can you just get excited for what God has for you? Because these are the moments that we have to rejoice in him. That victory is yours.
Thank you. As she's speaking all this, what's reverberating and within me that I need to share with you, that he does have everything that she has said. Everything has been promised to you. That's what the word is. That's what the Bible is. That they're living waters. It's a living word. The word of God that is there for us. We have to tap into it. How do we tap into it? We tap it into our secret place that we have with him. We share time with him. We give him our time. We read that word and we receive it like living waters. That is how we know what he has for us. That is how we know the promises that he has for us are real and true. And I also want to share that as we were praying earlier before the service, and Pastor was speaking about what the service was going to be about, I had this vision, and the vision was beautiful. The vision was Jesus sitting at a banquet table, and he has food for you. He has living food for you, which is the word. And he's just sitting there waiting to give you his food for you. He is just seated at the table saying, come dine with me. Come be with me, my child, because I have for you living waters, the word, living waters. Thank you.
I'm waiting for me to be.
Hold on. Hello?
Oh, yeah, there you
go. I was dreaming last night, okay. And I'm waiting for God to heal my hip, and I was dreaming that I was dancing with my tangerine.
And, yeah, come on.
And dancing and doing my tangerine, and I was all around this place and dancing with my tangerine, dancing around, all around. And Maria Elena and me, we was dancing all around for the God. And I was so happy in my dream. Because I was dancing and all around this building, and I said, thank you, Lord, for healing my hip, because now I can dance for you, and I can be with my tangerine because I do it for you. And I just was, when he started dancing and jumping around, I said, don't do that because I cannot do it yet. And I remember that dream that I had last night.
Yeah, come on.
And I have to share with you because I want to do it so bad. I want to do it so bad. I want to do it with all my heart.
Praise God. Thank you, sister.
Better than you, there's nothing.
Oh,
there's nothing.
Oh, we're going to sing this all week. Amen.
Nothing is better than you. You're gonna be sleeping. You can be asleep waking up singing this song. God, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's
nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Jesus.
Oh, there's nothing.
Oh, just take your time, worship.
Better than you, Lord.
There's nothing.
Uh-uh.
Better than you,
Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you.
Jesus.
Better. nothing is better than you.
There's nothing better. There's nothing. You can sit down for a minute. There's nothing better than the presence of God. This place is called the Sarita House of Worship. But let me submit to you, you are the house of worship. The word says that do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the living God? You are the house of worship. It's no mistake, the name of this place. It wasn't even probably initially intended for that, but the Lord knew. And he places in the hearts of those who will listen and will speak his word. Romans 12:1 speaks about our reasonable worship. I heard a message, and it was an exhortation or a reminder or an encouragement of worship and what it means. And there's a story about David in the Old Testament, and he's moving the Ark of the Covenant, which is a representation of the presence of God. And the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines, and he had gone, and they had conquered them, and they were getting it back because the Philistines had issues and they were having a lot of plagues and stuff because they had taken what was not theirs, and the Lord was responding, and they said, hey, take it. We don't want this thing. So David is moving it back to Jerusalem. And they did something that wasn't normal to what they had been instructed to do in moving that ark. And they followed the ways or the precepts or the ideas of the enemy or man or the world in moving it. And they put it on a cart. No big deal, we would think. But as they're moving it, it gets unstable as they're going across terrain. And one of the priests puts his hand out in response to it tipping over, and he touches it to stabilize it and move it back, and immediately he's struck dead. And you may wonder, well, what's the big deal? He was trying to keep it from falling. And that may be a perspective that we have. And come on, God, even David was upset with God because of what had happened. But it was very clear in the instructions of how to deal with things. The presence, specifically the Ark of the Covenant, and how to move it. And it was prescribed to be carried by the priests in a specific way. And they decided to do it their own way. Worship is our natural response to the King who is good. We were made in the image of God. He is placed within every single one of us. Whether we know it or aware of it or not, he has placed in all of us who he is. When you see a child, if you play music, if you go in there where all the kids are that don't really know, can't talk or anything, but you could go and play some music, Baby Shark or whatever, and the kids are going to start bobbing and moving and dancing. It's natural. Worship is inside of us, and it's our reasonable. It's reasonable. But I believe that God is calling us reasonably for something that is not common, that is not normal, that is a little more. It's a little different. We're not of this world, he says. We are different. There's something different about what is inside of you that is going to change what is outside of this place, this community. We are a light on a hill. If you place a light on a hill in a dark place, it will draw. It will draw people, things to it. It's a new year. People make promises and pledges and so forth to change. I'm not quite sure what is going to happen or what is going on with each of us individually. I think that there's good things that God has us and has taken us into. But I believe that there's something that's not normal. And normal, I mean what we've just become and grown accustomed to or used to. There's something not normal that we are being drawn out of, being called out of. And it is a good thing. I don't like to use words like thing because it's kind of just random, right? But I believe there is a good thing that Christ, that the Lord has for you that is outside of what you are used to or expect or have grown accustomed to. And that change might be a little bit uncomfortable, but embrace it. Embrace what the King is doing. And in worship, I mean, music is one aspect of worship. Obviously, there's many forms of worship, volunteering, giving, work, you know. This box is the house of worship, but you are the temple of the living God. And our reasonable service is to give him what he is due, is worship. Let it flow. Let worship flow from who you are. Let it come out. Don't be afraid. Do it at home. Go at home. We've probably been teaching this for 20 years. Go home, youth. We used to tell the youth, go home, worship. Close the door of your room. Turn on the music. Find something that captures your heart in terms of your style of music, whatever it is, and go. Like Steve was saying, that song captured something within him that he was pressing into at an earlier time. There are different songs that expressions that you may be used to. That's okay. Go for it. But also when you come into a place that you may not be used to, where the King is being honored, press into that. You don't have to like the song. You don't have to like the style. That's not the point. The King is the point. The King is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. How many, you feel the presence of God in the house this morning? Oh my God. Lord God. Hallelujah. Have your way, God. Hey. Going to take you into Exodus chapter 14 this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for you, what you're doing this morning. God, we ask you, Lord, to continue to touch our hearts, Father. Continue, Father God, to speak to us this morning. We thank you for it, God. Father, we honor you. We honor you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Familiar story, and I thought my daughter and Steve Cargill were going to preach my message this morning. Come on, man. Hallelujah. It was good. I mean, I said, I almost had zero. That's it. I'm done. Praise God. Starting verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon,
before it shall you encamp by the sea. God was already setting them. How many know God was setting him up? Do you know that? You know God always sets us up. Is that right? Are you okay with that? Sometimes God gets you in a place where you'll hear him. Is that okay? Or you'll see him. Or you'll see. And he was getting ready to show one of the greatest miracles that these Egyptians, that these Israelites have seen. How many say amen? And also he says, you can see in just a minute, he's going to say, I'm going to show the Egyptians who the God that you serve is. Amen? Praise God. How many are ready to see that in the earth today? Oh, let me tell you, we're headed for some times like that, folks, where the world cannot say anything, but man, that's God. They go, that was God. Hallelujah. So I'm ready for that. It says this. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And so they did. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt with us thus with us? However you want to, and carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. Bunch of complainers, amen? As soon as they saw the enemy, they start complaining. Is that okay? Let me ask you this. Do you do that? As soon as something happens, do you start complaining? Do you pull into a mode saying, oh, God, what are you doing, God? Or do you just keep your mouth shut? Folks, I believe God's getting us to a place where we're going to stay silent. Amen? For the fact, because you know deep in your heart, no matter what's happening, God knows all about it, and it's not going to trouble me. I'm going to quit getting carried or as they say, being out of shape. Amen? So you got to stay in the shape that God has created you to be. Amen? He created you to trust him. He created you to believe in him. Do you believe that? And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still. I would have said, shut up. But I mean, it says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yeah, right, Moses. They're right there. No, man. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your, what? Peace. Stay quiet. You're going to stay quiet. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Amen? Forward. Can you imagine Moses and hold on, be quiet, hush.
God says for us to go forward. The only forward looking was looking at that sea. How many say amen to that? I said, Moses, you're crazy. You must have brought us out here to kill us. Now, tell the children of Israel that they move forward. Title of the message is Into Forward. How many of you could get in your car, man? You put that gear shift lever into what? If you want to go forward. If you want to go back, you got to put it into reverse, right? But if you want to go forward, you got to put it into forward. Is that right? God's calling us to move into forward. How many say amen to that? I believe this month, I believe this year is that if we want to call this year, if we want to make a title of this year, it's Into Forward. Put that thing into forward and start moving. How many say amen to that? Man, come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Children of Israel had a bad habit, wouldn't you say? A bad habit, man, of every time something went wrong, they went wrong. They went into reverse. Is that right? Let's look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. Moses, wherefore cries, oh, that's 11, 13, sorry. Exodus 16:3 says, the children of Israel said to them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with what? What was happening at this time? They were hungry. Hungry. We want to eat. How many get hungry? Anybody? How many get grumpy when you're hungry? No, nobody. Good. Praise God. Nobody gets grumpy. That's what I said. Man, praise God. You hold your peace. Amen. You don't say a thing, huh? Praise God. I got a granddaughter and granddaughter. I'm hungry. For as soon as I get in my truck, we're hungry. Oh, come on, man. Give me a break. Hello. I'm your grandfather here. I'm hungry. Okay. But these folks, they wanted to eat. They wanted something to eat. Because they didn't get anything to eat right away, what they start doing? Complaining. Moses, it's all your fault. Man, we could be sitting in Egypt right now eating leeks. What are leeks anyway? Does anybody know what leeks are?
Big onions.
They're big onions? Oh, yeah. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking seaweed, but I don't know. Leeks. Eating leeks. We could be eating leeks. Moses. Praise God. Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. Let's look at. This is when the children of Israel had heard the spies. They brought back an evil report. And now they're freaked out. You know, I really believe that Moses kind of made a mistake. And you don't have to believe this, young, but if you take a look at the story of when Moses sends the 12 spies into Canaan, the Lord tells him, pick out spies out of the congregation and send them to go view the land. So Moses picks them out, but then Moses starts telling them, hey, see how high the walls are. See how big they are. See if they got any protection. And Moses starts laying out all these things for them to look at, so that's what they went and looked at. If they would have just gone to view the land, I think that they would have came back like Joshua and Caleb and said, hey, man, the land's great, man. Let's go. God can do it. We saw him open up the Red Sea. I think Moses might have set them up a little bit. But here's when they brought their response back to the children of Israel. Here's what they said. It's Numbers chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. It says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the wilderness, in the land of Egypt. We should have died in Egypt, us and our kids. Or would God, we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? Boy, what? It's like somebody wrote this for him. Amen? come on. They're going to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return, there's the word for a reverse, to return into Egypt? And then they said to one another, hey, let's make a captain and let's return to Egypt. Let's go backwards. Amen? I'll tell you what, sometimes folks, I'm going to say, whether you believe it or not, sometimes you can get into a mode of walking backwards. Do you know that? You can get there. Before you know it, you find yourself there. And you go, oh, God. Hey, you know what, God? Your word said for me to trust in you. Your word says have faith in God. So, Lord, hey, forgive me and just start walking from there. But, folks, I'm here to tell you, I believe that God is saying to us, he doesn't need us. We need not to be going in reverse anymore at all. How many say amen to that? How many would you like to do that? No more in reverse. There has been times where people get saved and they go back. They get saved again and they go back. And they get saved again and they go back. Folks, I want to tell you the key to that is listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide the new believer. How many say amen to that? For some reason, we have been taught that we have to be there for them every hour of the day, How many heard that before? Well, the reason they fell behind was because, you know, they didn't have any support structure of body. I'm telling you what, God has given every support. He has given the best support structure that we could have. It's the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. That's the best and the only support structure you need. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So let's say you lead somebody to the Lord. Hey, you tell them, stay close to God. Get in His Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and watch. Because, folks, I believe the kingdom of God is moving into a position where it doesn't fluctuate like it has been for years. How many say amen to that? Man, I believe we're in a kingdom, and this kingdom has a king, and that king has a plan and a purpose for us. How many say amen?
Amen.
And, oh, folks, and how many of you are all in? I'm all in for this kingdom. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Bad habit of looking backwards. Here's a power verse for us, and it's Luke chapter 9, verse 62. It says, Jesus said to him, no man, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. There was a man that came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, let me first go and take care of my father and my mom, and then I'll come back and follow you. And Jesus said this to him, no man, after putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. I've always kind of played around with this. Well, not played around. I said, Lord, okay, I understand looking backwards. I understand, you know, thinking about Egypt. I understand that. But do you remember that when Elisha was plowing and Elijah put his coat on? Do you guys remember that story? It's almost the same thing what Jesus says here. I'm 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. Elijah had been commanded by God to go find Elisha. He's going to take your position. So he departed and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. He was the last one in line of all these oxen teams. There was 11 of them before him. He's plowing with these guys, and then he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him through his. I think that's pretty cool. The anointing of God that was on that mantle on Elijah. As he walks by Elisha, he looks at him, and he walks over and he throws his mantle on him. I hope he covered his face. I hope so. I hope it landed on his head, because all of a sudden he just feel that from the top of his head to all the way through it, the anointing of God. I hope that's the way it doesn't say that's the way it happened. But how many of you have ever had that feel where you feel something that's almost like it's hot honey or something pouring on you? And you sense it, and it goes all the way to your feet. Ooh, come on. I think that's what Elisha felt. He felt it. Ooh, what is this? And then Elisha tells him, he says this,
cast his mantle upon it, and he left
his oxen
and ran after Elijah. And then he says this. He says, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother. Then I will follow thee." And he said to him, "Go back, for what have I done to thee?" And I kind of matched this with that where Jesus said, "No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is worthy of the kingdom." And I said, "Lord, what are you saying in this?" I mean, because you're almost saying exactly opposite what Elisha said to that young man. And he said, and what I sensed was the Lord saying to me, he says, "Henry, Elisha was not the kingdom being manifest. Elisha was a prophet. Elijah was a seer," is what they called him. He wasn't the kingdom manifest in the earth. Ooh, but Jesus was the kingdom manifest in the earth. Everything he said, everything he did was the kingdom manifest in the earth. Go back and look at the Beatitudes and see what it says, because as you look at that, just think about Jesus. This is what he is and this is what his kingdom is. And you watch how the Beatitudes would change right before you, because this is the attitude of the kingdom. Jesus is the kingdom. Do you understand that? He is the unchanging person in an unshakable kingdom. That's who Jesus is. So Jesus says, when you recognize me as Lord, you become born again. Is that right? How many say amen to that? Anybody ever been in here born again? Anybody ever? Raise a hand if you ever. Come on, man. Well, folks, there's no going back. This is what Jesus is saying. Looking back, you're not worthy of the kingdom. Ooh, come on, man. Do you remember when Ruth walked into the throne room, putting her life at risk because the king hadn't summoned her? Is that right? You remember that? Esther, I'm sorry. Thank you. I said Ruth. Esther. I thought you guys were saying Esther. I go, what? Oh, Esther. Remember when she went in? The king had not summoned her. Said, "If I die, I die," right? If I die, I die. But that king, what did he hold out to her? Did I give you Hebrews 1:8? I'm going to tell you something. Hebrews 1:8, I think it is. I don't know if I got it. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Let's see if it comes up. I think it's 1:8. Oh, yeah. This is that. Ooh, look at this. "But under the sun," he says, "thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Jesus is the scepter. He is the scepter that God himself is holding out to you, and you go in into his presence. You see, a scepter of righteousness. Do you know that Jesus was the most righteous man in the earth that ever walked the earth? And the Bible said that he gave up his life. He took sin upon him that the righteousness of God might become would come to you. Jesus is the scepter that brings you into the kingdom. Do you understand that? That brings you into the throne room of God, into a place where you can have a conversation, a one-on-one with God. Like we said, so that you can become independently dependent upon God and God alone. Hallelujah. Oh man, I hope you got that. Matthew 6:33 says this: "Seek first the kingdom of God," right? "And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All of what things? All of what things? He got through talking about, hey, don't worry about your food, don't worry about your clothing, don't worry about... He's talking about all things that God has given you in this kingdom.
everything that he has for you. Seek it first. Seek God first, and you watch what he opens up to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Because you are a citizen. You're a child of the kingdom. Whew, hallelujah. Luke 12, 31 and 32 says this. But rather, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Just like Matthew, Luke say the same thing, except Luke says something now. He says, fear not, little flock. That's the last time you say that. Come on. You bunch of little flockers. Anyway, flock. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to operate in this kingdom. He wants you. Everything, every cell in your body is created for the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? God created the whole earth, and every atom in it is created for the kingdom. Back away from it, and you're backing away from the kingdom. Don't back up. Go forward. Go into his presence and hear what he has to say to you. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. This is the beginning of the Beatitudes. And I just fell in love with this because I looked this up. Forgive me if you don't like this, but I looked it up in the contemporary English version. But this is what it says in the King James. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. How many are poor in spirit? Here's what it's translated in the contemporary version. It says, God blesses those who depend only. That's a big word in that scripture. Do you understand that? Only on him. Independently dependent on God, not on anything else. Not on your bank account. Not on your wisdom of how you can prepare yourself to get the best job in the world. Nothing like that matters in this kingdom. What matters in this kingdom is that you depend on God and him alone. That's it. That's the kingdom of God. And when he begins to open up to you his word and his resources for you, you don't care. There were some guys out here that came up to put up. How many like our fence? Ugly thing, ain't it? It's ugly. It's an ugly thing, man. We come out to, and I've been praying about this. That God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And he had told me, he goes, we're going to give you something good. We're gonna make it worth your while. Okay, cool, man. He says, we're going to rent it from you. I said, you know what? We don't rent here. How many say amen?
Amen.
I'm not trying to be a business. I say, we'll take a donation. No. And I've been praying about this. So when he goes, well, how about $500? You want me to shake your hands for $500? Okay. I mean, hey, folks, I am not in the habit of telling you what to donate. Do you understand that? What's ever on your heart, that's your donation. I'm not saying, hey, okay, you don't believe? Okay, I want everybody in the house today, you give $1,000 today, or God's not going to bless you. No, man. I'm not in the habit of telling people how much. If you got a donation, how much do you want, Henry? I said, whatever's on your heart. Isn't that what the scripture says? You know what God's word says? Give according to your heart. $500. Not mine, for me. Give what you want. He could have given us $100, amen? Who did I tell that? Who did I say that to? I told somebody, hey, they said, yeah, we made a deal for $100. No, they're going to bless us. They gave us, they $800 a month is what they come out with. Isn't that right? I told you, did I tell you, John, they gave us $100? Is that what I You can see, folks, because I'm not here about the money. I am here, like what God has said to me, to build the body of Christ, no matter what. Whether we have this building built in full in a year, it doesn't matter, because we are here for God. I'm here for God, and I believe that God's going to take us through every step we need to go. It doesn't matter. I don't need to be wise.
Rosie tells me, you're not too wise. You're not too smart. Scriptures tell us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You need to be kingdom wise, not anything else. Not earthly wise, kingdom wise. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The kingdom has to reign in your heart. Therefore, you say, whatever, whatever. And we're going to sue you, whatever. You don't know my God. He's going to sue you. Yeah, guess what? Mess with me. God's going to sue you. He's going to extract your best. Is that what you said, Steve? The wealth of the wicked is going to be laid up for the just.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is the only thing to look forward into. Do you understand that? That's the only thing to look forward into. Here's where that word again says forward into. God gave me forward into last night. I thought I had a message, and God said, no, you don't have a message. I wanted to go to bed. He said, no, you're not going to bed. He goes, man. And the word he gave me was forward into. Forward into what? They went forward into the Red Sea. Amen. God is saying, if you seek the kingdom, he'll take you forward into that kingdom that he has for you. Everything that you need is going to be in there. You're going to see it, and you're going to understand it, and you're going to know it, and you're going to be able to walk in it. Amen. You're going to possess it. It's already yours. The possession is yours already. You just need to know what he's trying to do for you. Is that all right? Is that okay? You just need that God to you communication so you know without a doubt this is what he's saying to me. Hallelujah. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. How many know that God has got a lot for us? The Word of God says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness right now. He's given you every spiritual blessing in Christ right now. He's given it to you. But there's an order to it, and the order that comes to you is the order that he wants to give you so that you know. So then you have to seek God and his kingdom. You got to find out what he has for you, and he'll put all these things in order for you. Oh, I can go into the building and tell you about the building again, but I don't want to do that. I think I'm boring you. I said, hey, man, this is how we done it. This is how God opened it up to us. He's got an order to bring things to you, but you got to find that order. You got to find it in him. You got to know what he's saying to you for this order. He says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget the reverse. Take the reverse thing out of your truck. Don't ever go in reverse anymore. Be quiet. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things, what? That are before. If you think you've seen it all in the kingdom, oh, you haven't seen nothing yet. Come on, bro. You've seen nothing yet. We've got so much to find out about the God that we serve. We haven't even broken in yet, man. The crack in the eggshell is barely letting us in. Folks, you got to know he's got so much more for us than we can even imagine. You can't even imagine what he's got for us. Reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. For the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore as many be perfect. How many of you are perfect? Come on. No. Don't say that. I'm going to tell you why. You are perfect because you died and the Christ dwells in you. The perfection that God has intended for you all along is already dwelling in you. Don't ever go against the word of God by saying nobody's perfect. I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are. He says, therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God will. I love this, don't you? If you're otherwise minded, if you're contrary minded towards the kingdom of God, God will show it to you. if you'll let him. There's a lot of folks that won't let him show them things because, well, we never done it that way, brother. All right, John?
Yeah.
Folks, I'm not one for I'm just going to use this for, is it okay if I use this for an example? Are you sure, Pastor? There's some people that believe that they have a curse in their family, that curse is passed down, boom, boom, boom. Because my father had cancer, I have cancer, I'm going to have cancer, my kids are going to have cancer, their grandkids are going to have cancer. No. The Word of God says, what does it say? Old things pass away. It means they're severed at the cross and everything becomes brand spanking new. Brand new. Brand new. You are kingdom children. You are kingdom people. You are citizens of the greatest kingdom this world has ever seen. And it is getting ready to bust open all over this planet. It really is. Because there are more spirit-filled believers in this earth than it's ever been before. And God is saying, now's, I'm getting close. Time's coming. He's not going to rip us out of here until he reveals the kingdom of God and the world goes, oh, it's almost just like Pharaoh. What? Wiped out my army. Can you see Pharaoh on the side of the Red Sea? Whoa, that was different. Can you see him looking? Can you see Pharaoh saying, there's a big wall, two walls of water, and Pharaoh going, get in there, boys. I bet even the horses are weird. Whoa, wait it. Never seen nothing like this before. We've never seen the kingdom of God in operation on the earth. It's never been that way where it's fully exposed and God's getting ready to do it. And you're part of it. You are part of the greatest kingdom this world has ever seen. You say amen to that.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Come on.
There we go. Sorry, I had to be the sound guy for a second. I was like, he ran away. He must be afraid. No, I'm good. So, I really like that scripture, the Matthew 5:3, the CEV. I think it was the complete English version. But God blesses those who only depend. All right, I can say this right. God blesses those who depend only on him. It's like, whew. You know, I have a hoodie that actually talks about this verse. Because I love it so much. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be added on to you. Let me just encourage you that if there's anything in your life that you need and you don't have it yet, don't try to get it under your own power, because God's already made it available. Well, he's already given it to you. He's equipped you. Just wait till he makes it available for you. Just wait on him, because his answer is far better than any answer you can come up with. So, if you would, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for this message. God, I just ask that you help us to be those people that depend only on you. We're not looking for other people. We're not looking even for ourselves, but to you and what you want. Because life is so much better that way. It's full of joy. It's full of peace. It's full of prosperity. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to remind us to do the thing that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless. Stick around for cake.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.